Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters, welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, again, we look ahead to this Sunday and to its readings for the eighth Sunday in ordinary time. In one sense, I feel like a broken record, and yet I know that what God is doing is tilling the soil of our hearts day in and day out to honestly look at our motivation, honestly look at our intentions, and if we rely upon God, we are going to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We're going to be gold refined in fire. We're going to reflect Christ. And the readings, in a certain way, today, for this Sunday, continue to carry on that theme. The first reading is from the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 27. And it says this: in a shaken sieve, the rubbish is left behind. So too the defects of a man appear in his conversation. The kiln tests the work of the potter. The test of a man is in his conversation. It shows you what's in the heart. The orchard where the tree grows is judged on the quality of its fruit. Similarly, a man's words betray what he feels. Do not praise a man before he has spoken, since this is the test of men. Yes, you know, people can make nice speeches and say nice words, but when you walk around and you're in the company of people, Scripture is saying, watch their speech, because it reveals the intent of the heart. And ultimately, it does. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And it says, when this perishable nature has put on imperishability, and when this mortal nature has put on immortality, then the words of Scripture will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and sin gets its power from the law. So let us thank God for giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we depend on Christ, we don't get mired in every jot and tittle of the law. We respect the law. We're obedient to the law, but it's supposed to lead us to Christ in all we think and say and do. It's to lead us to be conformed to Christ. Never give in then, my dear brothers. Never admit defeat. Keep on working at the Lord's work always, knowing that in the Lord you cannot be laboring in vain. So what the second reading is doing is lifting us up, giving us an eternal perspective. Persevere. Follow the Lord. Do what the Lord asks, because your labor will not be in vain. And the gospel for this Sunday from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 to 45. Jesus told a parable to his disciples. Can one blind man guide another? Surely both will fall into a pit. The disciple is not superior to his teacher. The fully trained disciple will always be like his teacher. Why do you observe the splinter in your brother's eye and never notice the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the splinter that is in your eye, when you cannot see the plank that is in your own? Hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye first, and then you will see clearly enough to take the splinter that is in your brother's eye. There is no sound tree that produces rotten fruit, nor again a rotten tree that produces sound fruit. For every tree can be told by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorns, nor gather grapes from brambles. A good man draws what is good from the store of goodness in his heart. A bad man draws what is bad from the store of badness, for a man's words flow out of what fills his heart. The first reading from Ecclesiasticus, saying that we know a man by his conversation. The gospel saying, the law of love is higher than every other law. Don't be going after your brother's faults before you go after your own. And clearly, a man's words flow out of what fills his heart. Look at his conversation, look at his actions, look at his deeds, and you'll know what's really in his heart. You'll know what really motivates him. But the gospel tells us, look at yourself first. Don't be judging other people's conversation and saying, oh, I know what's going on in his heart. Take the plank out of your own eye first, and you're going to have a very different perspective on the way you look at others' faults. When you're more conformed to Christ, no matter what your brother's or sister's sin, you're going to see it differently. You're going to see it with the eyes of love. If you first have submitted yourself and your sin to God. And the second reading gives us that eternal perspective. Come on, you can yield to Christ. Come on, you can submit to Christ day in and day out. You can be conformed to him. You've got an eternal reward coming. You've got victory over sin coming. Jesus has won for us the victory over death, and it's yours in him. Come on. That's what the scripture is calling us to today. What fills your heart? Is it resentment, anger, self-pity? Is it trust? Is it faith? Is it thanksgiving? Now, I found one of the biggest things to help change my mind was to get into a habit of thanking God for all good things that he gives me, thanking him for the small things. The more I thanked him, the more I saw. The more I had a spirit of thanksgiving, the more I saw, and the more easily I was able to not let the sins of others or the weaknesses of others affect me negatively. It's just one practical little way to begin. But there's another, and it comes through a little story that I picked up that really inspired me. It was written by a physician. He said this, "As a physician involved in the care of children, I am very fortunate to witness daily the wondrous power, strength, and faith of the most physically fragile among us. One such event involves Bobby, a 5-year-old child who had been diagnosed with leukemia at age 4. His cancer was in remission. He was free of disease, and he had come to the hospital for a series of diagnostic tests that were a routine part of his treatment plan. Bobby had bright blue eyes and a shy smile that at first glance didn't reveal the wisdom gained through his 1-year struggle against cancer. Bobby had lost all of his hair, secondary to his regular chemotherapy treatment. The chemotherapy often left him nauseated and unable to eat. Bobby had experienced numerous painful procedures and treatments, and this day was to be no exception. Bobby was undergoing a procedure that was indeed painful. He had been through it before, so he knew what to expect. I explained to him what we were going to do and why, and the importance of him remaining very still. Bobby assured me that he would be very still, and he promised. Now remember, this is a 5-year-old. He promised that the nurses and technologists in attendance would not need to hold him down. As we began, Bobby asked, "Dr. Brown, would it be okay if I say the 23rd Psalm while you stick me?" "Of course that would be fine," I said, not knowing what else to say, and we began. Bobby recited beautifully, no tears, no movement. The procedure went well. Bobby, in his young wisdom, reassured me, Dr. Brown, that really didn't hurt much. We knew that it had. And then Bobby caught me by surprise when he asked, Dr. Brown, do you know the 23rd Psalm? Well, sure, I answered him. Well, can you recite it like me? He said, a bit doubtfully. Well, I don't know. I think so. I realized that I was going out on a limb. Well, let's hear it, said Bobby. So I proceeded to stumble through it. My performance was quite shabby in comparison to Bobby's, and I didn't have a needle sticking in my back. I noticed all the other white-coated professionals in the room were trying to disappear as they feared being called on next, a prospect more frightening than being asked to perform at grand rounds. And then beautiful and bald, Bobby said to all of us, you know, you really should learn the 23rd Psalm by heart. Because when you say it out loud, God hears you, and he lets you know inside your heart that he is being strong for you when you can't be strong for yourself. This doctor closes with these words, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. There was wisdom. Incredible wisdom, because this child depended on God. This child was truly humble. This child knew he didn't have anything. He couldn't marshal any kind of external forces to take away the pain. He had nothing but God. And God gave him everything, not just for him, but for everyone else in that room. Brothers and sisters, so much of the Christian life, as the church has been giving us through all the scripture the last 2 weeks, telling us very clearly, depend on God, don't depend on yourself. Tells us very clearly that when we consciously and directly depend upon him, God will give us the wisdom from on high. If we absolutely need it right at the moment, it'll be given. Many times we don't need it right at the moment. We just want it so we can feel secure. Reliance upon God means waiting upon God, trusting God. It means most of all following the law of love and forgiveness. It means being patient with others and patient with ourselves. It means an attitude of humility. I don't have it. I can't do it. I can't change it. But God can. And I will depend upon him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for the other thing. Thank you for the way you really are my shepherd. Lord, be my shepherd more and more today, wherever you may lead me. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.